Blog Talk Radio.
What I'm talking about, straight funk, no chaser, no fakers, no artificial flavors. You know what I'm saying? What is up, family? You are tuned in on a Thank God It's Friday to Everybody Is a Star on Tribe Family Channel. And this is your funkstress, Patrice Chocolate Banks. Now, I hope all of you had a funked up week and are ready to kick your weekend off, baby. So thank you for tuning in. Now, I'm not going to waste any time. Our guest tonight really does not even require like a long, drawn-out introduction. So all I'm going to say is his name. Okay, y'all ready for his name? I'm going to say his name, Rusty Allen. Rusty, you there?
I am here, baby. How are you doing?
I am good, and thank you so much for joining us, my brother. I know you are a busy brother, so thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on Everybody Is a Star tonight.
Oh, I'm so happy to be on the radio with C-H-A-C-O-M-T-E Chocolate. And, I just, like, feel like God preserved me and prepared me for this very moment. You know, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege for me to be on the radio with C-H-O-C-L-A-T-E Chocolate.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rusty, we go way, way back. I don't even know. We're not going to name any numbers and what years and all that kind of stuff. We go way back, way back. You my buddy, way back. So, as a matter of fact, so far back until I can't even quite remember how far back. Do you not, don't, we're not saying years and stuff, but do you remember when we first crossed each other's paths?
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Oh, okay, good. You do. Okay, what happened?
What happened was I was living on 108th and Breed Avenue on the borderline of Oakland and San Leandro, and this crazy drummer named Willie Sparks came to my house. Willie Wild. He said, Rusty, man, I want you to play bass with us. Next thing I knew, I was up at Freddie's house up there on Cameron, and then the next thing I knew was I was down the hill at Larry's house.
Okay. You there? Uh-oh. Rusty cut out on us for a minute. Okay, we're going to get this situated. In the meantime, we are going to play one of the songs off of his list that he submitted of his all-time favorites, and that song is going to be, let me see, which song am I going to play? I think I'm going to start out with Satisfaction, because that's the one that he put on the top of the list. So we'll start out with Satisfaction, and by the time we get back, hopefully Rusty will be back with us, okay? So here we go, Satisfaction.
JC.
Mass, that's right.
My God.
Can you hear me, Rusty?
Yeah, I can hear
Rusty.
You.
All right.
Yeah,
woo!
I can.
Okay. All right. We're getting off to a rough start, but it's going to be all right. Okay. That was satisfaction. So now tell me why you chose that song. What is it about satisfaction? Because you play. How long did you play with Sly?
I joined Sly's band in 71 and left around late 75, 4 years and a few some months.
That's a long time. So no, so out of all of those years that you were with him and all the songs you played, tell me why you picked Satisfaction.
Well, the way that he layered the basses, if you pay attention to it, from a bass player standpoint, he has two bass lines going, and they're like really kind of like evolving throughout the track. So it's like there's a basic idea, and I just love the way how he was able to incorporate both of those bass lines and make it work, man. It's just so funky, man, and rich, you know.
Okay. All right. All right. So all the musicians that are listening out there, the bass players in particular, they know exactly what you're talking about. They can relate to that. So what we're going to do, Rusty, here's how I like to do my interviews. I like to start from the beginning all the way up and through to what's happening right now. So we're going to start from your hometown. Let's start there. Where were you born?
Okay. I was born in Monroe, Louisiana. And my parents brought us to California when I was about 7 years old. We started out in Alameda, ended up in Oakland. It's the Brandy Park, and that's where I went to elementary school and junior high school. Actually, I was younger than that, come to think of it. I was in the third grade at Brandy Park Elementary in Stonehurst. Yeah, so I was real young when I came to California.
Okay, so we shall now Sobranti. Right, and Stonehurst, you said? All right, so Rusty, I think, is having a few problems with his phone. I don't know where it is, but you heard him say Sobranti and you heard him say Stonehurst, okay? So there you go. For all y'all that come from Oakland and know exactly what he's talking about, there you go. So, Rusty, are you there? Okay. So until we can figure out what's happening with Rusty's phone, we're going to go to another song that he submitted. And this song is called Organize, all right? And when he comes back, we'll find out why he picked Organize. So here we go. Organize on Everybody is a Star.
Show me
what is true.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
I don't know what's going on.
All right, Rusty, you there?
I'm here.
We're just going to keep on, and we're going to let it do what it do. Okay, so Organize. And on this song, you hear Freddie singing. You know, Freddie has one. I love Freddie's voice. So now, why did you pick this song, Organize?
Well, it was one of the first songs that Sly actually let Freddie record, and Sly included it on the tracks on that album. And it was just such a magnificent, funky, rich song. And we just had a lot of fun recording it. We were out there at the record plant in Sausalito in the pit, and it just came together just like that. I mean, it was like no whole lot of brainstorming and no whole lot of pre-prep and that. It just like went down, you know. And it was fun, loved Freddie's voice on it.
I know Freddie can sing. And the thing about Sausalito, and like you said, in the pit, you know, it'll make you come up with some stuff. I remember those days, boy, that Sausalito recording plant was off the hook. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, it was. So hopefully you'll be able to stay on online. I got people waiting. I see you guys holding the talk to Rusty, but we're going to see if we can get a little more information out of him before we start taking calls, okay? So we left off at his schools. That's where we left off. So, Rusty, we're going to fast forward because I know you got things to do. Let's fast forward to when the music bug bit. When did you, you know that music was what, you know, you had to do?
Well, you know, it's funny. I remember an elementary school teacher of mine named Miss Ferrari, who I love dearly. I spoke with her a few years back, right before I graduated from Laney College in 2012. And I remember one day she asked me about if I was able to play a snare drum. One of the students was walking by, and he had a pair of drumsticks and had a snare drum, and he was practicing paradiddles and everything. And she was like, "Can you do that?" And I was like, "I think so." And I think I was in the third or fourth grade, but it didn't really bite me until a couple of the guys in the neighborhood at Sabrani Park bought electric guitars, right, and started playing like Chuck Berry and playing that Chuck Berry style of guitar, you know. And I remember this guy, Ronnie Duffy, had a pretty red guitar. He was on the corner, and Bert Byers was down the street on Topanga. He had a nice guitar. And so we ended up playing guitars. And I remember so distinctly, it was like God's destiny for me, predestination for me to hook up with this whole Family Stone thing, because there was this guy that used to come see his girlfriend. And he lived directly across the street from me on Capistrano.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this outrageous James Brown pompadour, and he had this big long case, and he pulled up in his 57 Buick with these long fins, tail fins and chrome everywhere. And he'd get out and he'd walk in and say, I'll be like, who is that guy, right? Who is he? It was just something about him. And it was Larry Graham. Now, I'm like 8, 9, 10 years old seeing this guy across the street, and I'm like, man, whoever he is, he sure look cool, you know? and at the same time, I'm listening to Sly on KSOL and listening to him talk to Willie Popcorn and listening to Sly do his impromptu little ditties with the harmonic and everything, and I'm like just loving that whole vibe, right? And next thing I knew, Willie Sparks came over to my house. This was fast forwarding up into high school. During my sophomore, junior, and senior years, I was playing with a band called Johnny Talbot and D-Things. And, I mean, I was getting a lot of my major preparation, a lot of my roots, blues and jazz roots, playing with him. I was like, you know, 17, 18 years old, and the next oldest guy to me was in their 30s, you know, and I'm playing at the Sportsman's Club and the Showcase and all of the major clubs in Oakland.
Club and the Showcase, we used to go to both of those clubs, okay?
Yeah.
Modeling the Uptights.
Right.
Oh, I could go on and on. Okay,
Eugene Blacknell, all those cats, man. So, like, you know, I'm getting my roots with Johnny Talbot, and man, I'm in sixth period, knocked out because I played at the Club Triangle the night before, and you know, I ended up graduating early so I could go on the road with Johnny, and you know, so I took my GED and passed with flying colors. I was out of high school in 11th grade, and I might add that I was a really good student. I thought I was going to be an architect because I was really good with math and numbers and measurements, you know. But that music bug bit me, and the rest is pretty much history because, like I said, I ended up at Larry's house. I got nurtured by Larry, got nurtured by Freddie. You know, next thing I knew, I'm like 18, 19. We backing up Little Sister, you know, and playing You're the One. And, you know, we doing some traveling, opening up for Sly at the Spectrum in Philadelphia.
Well, tell us about Little Sister. For those who don't know about Little Sister, let's tell who Little Sister, because they were the bomb. We used to go to Ruthie's Inn. We used to go to Ruthie's Inn.
Yeah.
To go see them. So tell us
about
Little
I played
Little
there with them.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'll you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Little Sister was kind of like, was once again, Sly went into an experimental musical endeavor that included fretless bass and this whole new concept with, you know, like the Rhythm King and things like that. And he had that one band that he had signed, his label, SIX, and he did a song on them called I'm Just Like You. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so that was a spinoff, and Little Sister was a spinoff of that experimental side point in time with Sly where he was experimenting with music. So Year the One came out, and man, Year the One was bumping so hard and so funky. It was like,
yes, it was.
It was kind of even out doing some previous stuff that Sly had did, you know. And I met Freddie with Will.
Who was in that band when you guys were playing behind those sisters?
It was me and Willie and David Stallings playing guitar.
Okay. I know, David.
And,
woo!
Peace. And Freddie called us Lighthouse for the Blind.
What?
He called us Lighthouse for the Blind, and we were backing up Little Sister. And, you know, we ended up going up to Calgary, Canada. We opened up a show with Billy Preston. That's when Billy Preston had Out of Space out and all those funky instrumentals, and down to Bakersfield, and like I said, to the Spectrum in Philly. And, you know, I'm playing with Little Sister, man. And it was like, woo. I remember we did Pepperland over in San Rafael, and we opened up a slide with Little Sister. And that was a funky little snap, man. For a three-piece, too. We didn't have no keyboards or nothing.
Back. I know. So let's go back. So Willie was the one that introduced you to that whole
funk thing.
Let me call it a zone. That whole funk zone. It was because of him. He came and got you, right?
He came and got me. He knew that I was playing with Johnny Talbot. He even came to some gigs that I was doing with Johnny, and he just kind of sat in the audience. And then one night, and I didn't even know Willie was out there. And then one night, he just came and rang my doorbell. Him and David came on the same night, and we went out. We went down in the den, and we talked about it. And yeah, it was because of Willie.
Now, see, and I always thought that Herschel was there from the beginning too, but Herschel wasn't there with you guys at that time.
No, Herschel lived right around the corner on 109th. Remember, I was on 108th, but Herschel wasn't with us. Now Willie and Herschel and they all went to Elmhurst Junior High, and they were at Castlemont doing the what was the name of that band? They were doing James Brown songs. I can't think of the name of the band right now, but they were already hooked up. But then Willie got turned out on that Greg Errico Sly and the Family Stone funk, and so that's when Willie went into that zone, and he came and got me. I remember, too, playing with Johnny Talbot. There were a lot of times when Larry would come to hear Johnny, and Larry would be sitting in the audience, and I knew who he was at that time, right? And I was like, oh, my God,
right.
Larry's sitting out there, you know. But but let it be known that Sly Stone went to a whole lot of Johnny Talbot and DeThang's gigs, and was biting a whole lot of music, because Johnny Talbot and DeThang's at that time, point in time in the like mid-60s, was popping hard. You know, they was
right.
doing James Brown, you know, that Texas, real cold-blooded Texas funky blues and everything. And the musicians that Johnny had, Sly was actually trying to recruit some of them. Fred Casey, the drummer, and Gino, the sax player named Gino, some other cats. Sly was trying to recruit them cats out of Johnny's band. So, it was definitely some roots and some not adversity, but some competition, so to speak, in that area. You know what I'm
there
saying?
There you go. And you tickled me, Rusty. You said, let it be known.
Oh, yeah. I want that to be known, because Johnny Talbot ain't no joke. I cut my first 45s with Johnny. You know, I did a song called Get Some. I did a song called Take It Off, and, you know, Picking Cotton. I got my first, you know, studio savvy with Johnny, so I owe him a lot, too.
You didn't say Picking Cotton, did you?
Yes, I did. But you know what? If you could hear it, you would understand it. You know, it was just a little tight, funky groove. Yeah.
All right, one. So listen, Rusty, don't you move. Wherever you are, you stay right there. Don't you move nothing, because we don't want to lose you again. And what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to take phone calls. I want people to be able to talk to you. I don't know who is who, so we're just going to take the – we're just going to go down the list. Okay, so whoever called first, that's who we're going to go with, okay? I'm talking
all
to
good.
My co-pilot. I'm talking to my co-pilot right now. So, caller, are you on the line? Co-pilot, do we have our first caller?
What's the number? Is it me?
Hello? Anybody, whoever it is. Who's calling? Hi, can you hear?
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear
you.
Can you hear me?
Oh, hey, but it's Chocolate. It's Mike. It's Stover's boy, Mike and Montana from Philly. Remember my birthday song to you?
How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And I got to tell Rusty, I saw you at the Spectrum. This is Philadelphia calling right now.
Okay? You remember that gig?
All right, Philadelphia.
I remember that gig. And let me tell you something. It's like, I hope you got Living While I'm Living on that list, because that for me was like, it's like this. I'm like, well, Chocolate already knows. Like, that Oakland funk is like that Ohio funk, and I felt like I was born in the wrong city, because I was in Mr. R&B town wanting to be over there, you know?
Wow.
Philly got lots of love. They used to tell me, I remember the funniest thing was me and his bass player, Doug Grigsby, when we first started going out in Philly making records, they were just like, don't nobody want to hear no wah-wah pedal. Don't nobody want to hear no slapping. It's like, I was like, I got to get out of here. I was 16 years old, flying out, everything else. And it was just like, it's just such an honor to finally get to talk to you. And Chocolate,
well,
you got the greatest
show. It's my honor, too.
Chocolate, you got the greatest shows on earth. And
well,
let me
thank
tell
you very
something.
Much, my brother. And I appreciate your support. And thank you so much for calling. And tell me what? You said, let me tell you something. What you want to tell me?
I want to tell you one thing. You allow us to get the facts from the people that did it. That's the best part.
That's what I'm saying.
And allow them to tell the true story. Because the bottom line is, there's a lot of people sitting around going, whatever happened to so-and-so? Or who played on this record? Who played on that record? And when you bring somebody in, you bring in the true cats, you know. And it's a blessing. And one day, when you decide to do the interview about Philly and me, I'll give you my Herschel story, but it's long.
Hey, let me jump in right here. As far as that Philadelphia gig, one of the drummers that I play with consistently right to this moment, all the time, is Billy Johnson. And Billy Johnson was the drummer that played with Maze on Joey and Payne, right? And we talk all the time. Okay. And Billy constantly reminds me of that night at the Spectrum. He was there. Hey, me and Willie and David came out there, and we did an instrumental that Freddie wrote called Snap before Little Sister came out. And it had all of these odd time signatures and all of this all kind of stuff going on. And Billy Johnson was like, man, Rusty, if you could have been sitting where I was sitting, you wouldn't have believed this. So that's an honor for me. I appreciate it, man, just to be – I'm happy to know you were there too, man. That was great.
I was there. Hey, before I go, tell Billy you met Mike Tyler. Tell Ron Smith you met him. And also I got to tell you, from my guitar side – the Robert Child stuff was killing. But I know we can't talk about that. But I didn't want to bring that up, but I had to out you.
Hey, man, a lot of people don't know that side about me, man, but those were some of the best musical moments of my life playing with Robin Trower. Let me tell you, man, let it be known.
Hey, God bless y'all.
Let it be known. Okay, Mike, thank you. Love you. Smokers.
All right, baby. Bye-bye.
All right, okay. All right, so we're going to take the next caller in line, whoever that was fun, wasn't it, Rusty?
Oh, that was real cool, man. Wow, he was
that
at
was
the Spectrum
fun.
In Philadelphia. Wow.
And let's say what year that was. What year was that?
That had to be, what, 72? Yeah, 72. No, that was before that, because I wasn't even in Fly's band yet. That had to be like 69 or 70 something, man. Wow.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to take the next caller. Next caller, are you there? 305, area code 305. You there?
Next.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh, we know who this is. This is Stozo. This is my brother from another mother. You know Stozo Rusty?
Who is this?
You don't know Stozo?
No, not that I can recall.
Okay,
Rusty, it's really nice to hear you guys having some funky fun. Rusty, I've met you a few times when I was in the Bay Area. Just whenever there's some funk around, I think you guys did the Family Stone did a show, and Herschel was in it in Fairfax at a club.
I remember that. Yes, sir.
There you go.
Well, I definitely remember the gig. As a matter of fact, Herschel was on the gig, and so was Greg Garrico. And Gail Monson was on that gig too.
It was beautiful. Yeah. Tell Patrice about that gig. You guys really got together that night and threw down.
Wow, that's amazing.
Stozo actually, didn't you do some, was Rusty in the band when you did the T-shirt, Stozo?
Yeah, I did. Rusty, I did. I'm one of the artists that's done a lot of the album covers for Parliament Funkadelic. And so that led to me doing a lot of art for a lot of bands and stuff. And I got together with Greg Orico when I was living in the Bay Area, and I started doing some of the Family Stone T-shirt stuff for them, and working with Gail and meeting a lot of the musicians. You guys got a lot of great musicians in the Bay Area, and Fairfax was one of the places where a lot of the venues were that I went to see you guys play, and where they had rehearsals in San Rafael and Fairfax.
Right.
Yep. So,
well, that was great. Well, did this is for you and Patrice. Did either one of you make the Family Stone tribute at the Fox later last month in January?
They were supposed to come up there.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on one of those panels, but at the last minute I couldn't make it. And Stozo, he was going to come with me, but you know but I was supposed to be on the panel, though, Rusty. I was supposed to be on that panel with, who was it? I forget now. But anyway, I couldn't come, and Stozo couldn't come.
Well, it was magnificent, and you know the finale, Freddie, Cynthia, Jerry, Greg, and myself, we went out there and we did Dance to the Music.
Oh,
and the first group that opened up was a 75-piece orchestra, and they did a total remix, redo of Stan with strings and oboes and flutes, and it was just incredible. Anyway, they ended up joining us on the finality of Dance to the Music, and then I'm standing next to Freddie, and I said, Freddie, start it, go ahead. And he's like looking at me like, really? Like, man, start the song, man. And Freddie started Thank You, Boy, and it was on after that.
Oh my God,
it was just incredible. I'm telling you, man, I don't like to associate secular, but I'm telling you, man, I felt the spirit coming on me hard.
Hey, the spirit moves on when the spirit is, it's nothing you can do about it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, I'm telling you, nothing you can't stop it.
And that music, you know, is rooted in gospel. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Sly
and them, they came up in the church. So anything they're going to do is going to be rooted in gospel. So Stozo, my brother, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
And,
it was a complete honor.
You.
Thanks a lot, Rusty. You keep doing what you're doing, man. This is the most awesome stuff. And I'll talk to these guys in the future. Thank you.
Okay.
So we have another caller. We're going to take Rusty right quick. I don't know who it is, but we're going to take him. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, this is Leno. This
is Leno? Hey, what's going on? Well, I know you're from Facebook. So,
right.
But I got to act like I don't, though. So where are you calling from?
I want to ask Rusty one question I've been asking for many years, and I've even asked some Family Stone members, and everybody has different stories. But first of all, You mentioned you're from Monroe, Louisiana, and that's where I'm originally from. That's a gas, man.
I got a little bit of Southern root in me still, yes sir.
Yeah. I went to Carver Elementary School, and my aunt taught at Carroll High School. Yeah, but yeah, a number of good people came out of Monroe. That's Huey Newton came out of Monroe. That's a very powerful place.
Yes, sir.
It ended up in Oakland. That's a trip.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, who played bass on If You Want Me to Stay?
If You Want Me to Stay. Who played bass on?
That's a very controversial question. It comes up all the time. Sly ended up using his own tracks. Like I was telling Patrice, I did a couple of takes on it, but Sly ended up using his final takes on it, and that's what happened. But you know, a lot of people for some reason associated me with that song. I don't know. Maybe it's because the first cut of the Fresh album starts with "In Time," and that was like a signature for me and a coming out track, so to speak. So for some reason, a lot of people associated me playing bass on that, but those were actually Sly's tracks.
Well, Jerry,
so you heard
it
here. You heard it here on Everybody Is a Star. That is Sly playing bass on If You Want Me to Stay. You know why I'm saying that? Because on Facebook, I see that question all the time. Who is playing bass on If You Want Me to Stay? So before we did this interview, I told Rusty, I said, Rusty, everybody wants to know who is playing bass on If You Want Me to Stay. So We have the answer.
Yeah, Crittenton and I can't remember the other guy's name. They were part of the panel.
It was Eddie Lanier, right?
That was one of the first things Eddie asked me too, man. I'm like, wow. but you know what? If you really go back into the archives and listen to Sly, man, his bass playing abilities was killer way back when he tracked Buttermilk. I mean, he took a bass solo on Buttermilk. And then there's another song called My Brain Zigzag. You should listen to him on that. Real simple tracks and real simple chord progression, but man, he's funky as heck on it.
What album is that from? My Brain
Zigzag. I'm not sure. You probably just have to Google that title, and you should be able to get it. But that was a song that we did a remix on at the Family Stone tribute with my boy Will Maggot. He's a trumpet player. And then I did a remix of If You Want Me to Stay. I really wanted to get the MP3 to Patrice, but I wasn't able to do it. But I have a remix of If You Want Me to Stay that I'm going to release. And I have this young female rapper on there named Tia No More. And it was produced by Exclusive for Stoop Kids Music Group out in Oakland. This young brother, he's an up-and-coming producer, man. He's got it going on. And right now they're negotiating a deal for I Am Sue. He's got a cutout called Won't Land. And right now, man, he's probably the hottest cat in the country right now. He's getting ready to break out. And I have some tracks with him. I did some tracks for I Am Sue. I am Sue. I Am Sue.
Okay.
And the track is called Won't Land. A lot of people don't know, I played on the bitch cut for E-40, and I did a few things since, you know, things kind of slowed down.
We're getting ready to get into that. So now that you got your question answered, my brother, it's all good?
It's all good, baby.
Yes,
sir.
All good? Okay, good.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to thank you so much for supporting me on Everybody Is a Star, and I appreciate you calling in, okay?
I had to do it tonight. You know that.
I know you did, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay,
thank you so much.
Okay?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Okay, so Rusty. So now, here's what I want to know. So what did it feel like when you got the call to be in Sly and Family Stone? Because okay, here you are following Larry Graham, okay? Those are some big shoes that you can't even really feel. You got to just go ahead on and do what you do. So, but what did that feel like to replace Larry in Sly and the Family Stone?
Well, it wasn't really a matter of replacing Larry, like you said. It was just a matter of just being put in that situation and being and God putting enough in me to be able to handle it, because as far as I'm concerned, I was in heaven, man. You know, to be on the stage with the people that I just, whose music I loved and admired, their personalities, you know, coming up through the Little Sister ranks and kind of graduating the Sylvester Stewart College of Funk, you know, coming up through the,
okay,
through, you know,
you better say
you know
that.
Go, yeah, and then just graduated to Sly and the Family Stone, man. That first gig, man, when Sly gave me the set list and the songs to learn, I was like, wow, man. And I never forget, I was over on Urbano at Big Mama's house, and Sly was on the phone, and he asked to speak to me. So Big Mama said, Sly, I want to talk to you. So I got on the phone, and he was like, you know, we getting ready to do some shows, and he was just kind of talking so low. His voice was so low, and he was kind of like, you know, singing some bass lines and kind of saying that, you know, I know you can do that, and he's laughing and all. And all I could say was, yep, uh-huh, yep, yep, it's all good, yep, yep. I didn't even know what he was saying, Patrice, but I was like, yep, uh-huh, yeah.
Whatever,
you know, because you
yes,
gotta, you know, you gotta remember, I'm like this 19-year-old kid, man, 20-year-old kid, man,
right,
finna play with one of the biggest bands that ever existed, you know, and
exactly.
So I wasn't about to, like, you know, show any signs of fear or none of that. I remember one time, Patrice, up at Freddie's house, and I think this might have had something to do with it too. We were up at Freddie's house, me and Willie. I can't remember what was going on, and. Bubba Hamp came up there with Sly, right?
Right.
And they, I guess they were coming up there to visit Freddie, see how he was doing, whatever. So I was down the hall in the bathroom, and I came out the bathroom, and Sly was walking directly towards me down the hallway to go to the bathroom. So I had to pass him, right? And
right.
I just walked right by him, you know. I mean, no eye contact, no nothing. I just walked right past him with my head held high, right? And
right.
I remember him stopping Patrice and turning around and saying, Bub, man, dude didn't even look at me. And, you know, I don't know, but you know what? I kind of feel like that has something to do with him measuring my character, you know, because I don't think Sly wanted a bass player that was just going to be all, you know, brown nosing and all up in his face and everything.
Right.
I think he wanted somebody to
right.
play, you know what I mean? And so that's what
right.
I was there for. I was there to play. I wasn't there to, like, you know, put him on no pedestal or nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
But let me just ask you this, though. Now, so you, like, felt no pressure at all. Of course, it's not about taking somebody's place, of course, because Larry Graham is Larry Graham. We know that. But you felt no pressure at all, you know, like trying to, you know, how can I say this? Trying to, like, in other words, you just went into the situation being Rusty. You didn't even think about trying to even try to do what Larry did, or trying to, you know, do
not at all.
Larry
not
did,
at all.
Or none of that. You just did. You
none
came in knowing that you was going to do things the way Rusty did them.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I had enough of, I feel like God blessed me enough with enough ear and enough talent to be able to kind of, like, create and innovate to a degree what was already there, to where I could add some new hump, some new fire to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing. And then, you know, the pressure was minimal, because remember, I came up through Little Sister and stuff. I had a firm grasp on, you know, what was required and what, you know, what was expected, you know. So
right.
the pressure was minimal. But I remember we did a gig live at Central Park. And it was televised, and And we were sitting in an apartment in New York, and they were getting ready to show it. And the guy came on, he said, "Live from Central Park, it's Sly and the Family Stone," right? And the first thing you saw on that telecast was me in a cameo frame, right, singing "I'm Gonna Add Some Bottom," doing that part, right?
Right.
The bass line, that I did the bass line, but I kind of added some things, and I surprised myself. I was like, "Is that me?" I mean, I was like, "Wow," you know, because I mean, I've always been one to not really give myself a lot of credit. I've always had this thing where, you know, I'm okay. I'm not great or anything, but I'm okay, you know. But when I saw that, I was like, "Oh man, okay, I'm seeing what they're seeing," you know. So that was a really good moment for me.
So how did it feel to be on that level, you know, because Little Sister, they did, you know, they were popular, but to a certain extent, they never did reach their pinnacle. But with, as far as I'm concerned, they should have gone a lot, lot further, because those girls were bad. But with Sly, here you were on another level. So do you remember what, like, your most memorable experience was playing with Sly? Do you have one? Or, you know, just, can you just express in words what it was like to be playing in Sly and the Family Stone?
Well, it was, you know, we had so many great gigs. It's just hard to just, like, isolate one or two particular situations. But we had so many great gigs. And one of the things that stuck out to me the most was how I was treated as a band member. It was almost like more like I was treated as a blood family member, and I was loved and nurtured and genuinely cared for, not only as the bass player, but as Rusty, you know? And I mean, Sly was the one that he's responsible for changing the spelling of my name. You know, my name was just R-U-S-T-Y. And Sly said, "No, you finna be Rusty, R-U-S-T-E-E, right?" And I'm like, "Okay, I'm Rusty," you know. But the whole, just the way I was treated and loved, man. And, like, my mom would always tell me, she said, "Rusty," you know, because I was the third son, born on the third day, the third month out of five kids. And she was like, I just prayed to God that one of my children would be able to travel and one of my children would be able to walk in a store and buy whatever they wanted to buy and see the world. And I was that one. And I think
you
that kind of means
one.
The most. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, like I was saying earlier in the program, it was almost like predestination or something, man. From the time I saw Larry across the street listening to Sly on KSOL, you know, meeting Willie, meeting Larry, meeting Freddie, playing with Little Sister up to Sly, it was just like, man, and it all happened.
It was meant to be, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like a whole lot of time between steps, you know what I mean? It was like step, 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 bam, here you are.
Well, you know, that's how you know when God is involved in something, because that's the way it flows smoothly, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, anytime there's confusion, doubt, and distraction and all that, then you know God don't have nothing to do with that. So that was your destiny, that's your fate. That's what you were supposed to do. So now, currently, what are you doing? What are you up to right now?
Well, I had mentioned a little bit earlier, I've been affiliated with this brother, Exclusive, who's this young and up-and-coming producer. He's got a great studio in Oakland, and I've been doing a lot of bass tracks for him. He's been dealing with some various rap artists. He's very bright, writes some very strong tracks. And this one lady that's kind of like blowing up on the internet right now is Tia No More, T-I-A-N-O-M-O-R-E. And I've done some tracks for her, but me and her affiliation on If You Want Me to Stay, I can't wait for y'all to hear it, man. It's like, you know, she took the storyline and threw it back up into the man's face, and then Fred Ross is singing the lead, If You Want Me to Stay. I don't know if you know who Fred Ross is, but
yeah,
Fred Boss
Ross is out of Sacramento, isn't he? Isn't he out of Sacramento?
No, he's out of San Francisco. Fred Boss Ross singing. He was singing with the Family Stone Experience when I got there. He was already with Cynthia and Jerry, right? And then I came in for a moment. I was still playing with Bobby Womack, but I came in for a minute and did a few gigs with him. But Fred Ross is singing lead on there. So, oh, man, it just came out so cool, the final arrangement. So I'm going to be doing a final mix on that, and we're going to be doing some YouTube video and stuff and try to get something out there.
I was saying. So, Rusty, go ahead.
No, and then I was telling you about, you know, the corporate bands that I'm being rotated with, you know, playing at the Golden State Warriors games and, you know, playing at all the major casinos, Cass Creek, Thunder Valley, Black Oak. And, you know, I'm really busy. And for me, man, this is all icing on the cake, man, because the art of playing bass has evolved so much since we started back in the late 60s. And, man, there's like monstrous talented players out there and that are just ripping bases apart, man, with what Larry started and what I was a part of in that vanguard of bass style, right? And, man, but, you know, to be able to still go on a gig and sound like there's some integrity and some practice there and some actual love for playing bass still is all icing on the cake for me at this point in my life. So I'm praising God for all of that.
Well, I heard that, but the real deal really is that all these people that you're talking about, guess who they studied? They studied you, you know what I'm saying? They studied Larry. So, you know, I'm glad to know that the legacy still lives on. And what I wanted you to do is just name a few of, and I know you're a real humble person, but I want you to name a few of the other artists that you played with. You just said Bobby Womack. Just, you know, give us a few. I know there's a bunch of them, but give us a few of them.
Yeah, well, you know, me and George Clinton have a really strong song together that I hope to release. It's called Re-Rockin' of a Rock Star. And when you hear it, it's going to take you right back to knee-deep as far as the spirit of the spirit and the vibe that you felt when you listen to Knee Deep. It's got that kind of vibe to it. You know, I did the Temptations thing back when I was at Motown with Sly's Sister Rose, you know, cut some tracks for them. And
right.
Like I said, the Robin Trower, the Robin Trower years were really good. You know, I think Larry would even agree with me that, you know, Jimi Hendrix was one of the greatest rock guitarist that ever lived, and he created and innovated a lot of stuff. And Robin Trower, you know, I wasn't able to get with Jimmy, but I was able to get with Robin, and we had some great shows. I mean, great shows,
mm-hmm.
high energy. I mean,
mm-hmm.
had people like Tony Williams and Billy Cobham and cats like that coming to our shows, man. You know, because the energy level was so high, and the musicianship was just excellent. It was like just a really fun time for me.
Right.
And, you know, not other than those guys, I mean, you know, just sessions after session after session, like a lot of local stuff, you know, Frankie Lee and, you know, Alvon Johnson, a lot of people, you know, but I hope to get my CD released.
Good.
Go ahead.
Tell us about your CD.
Well, once again, like I said, I got a remix of If You Want Me to Stay. I got a George Clinton cut. I got some other things that I wrote with Altrina Grayson, who was one of Womack's lead singers. As a matter of fact, I have a song that I wrote for Bobby that he sung on before he passed, and exclusive over at Stoop Kids Music group remixed it, and they're looking at it at Universal now to make it part of a compilation. Raymond McKinley and Don Smalls back in Philadelphia over at Philly International. It's called That Thing You Do, and it's tight, man. It's really tight. I ain't saying that because I wrote it. I'm saying that because Bobby knew what to do with it.
Okay. Yeah, come on now. We talking about Bobby Womack. Okay.
Yeah.
So, let me see. We got like a couple of more callers. Before we go, you want to talk to a couple more people? But before we go, I'm looking at the clock. We got a minute. Where can we find out about what Rusty Allen is doing? Where's your information online?
Well, you know, I'm not really big on social media. I did have a website that's kind of down right now, but it should be up in the next couple of weeks with some new content on it, and that'll be www.rustyallen.com.
Okay.
can Google me, and you can Google me, and things like that. You can find out what I'm going, what I'm doing, where I'm going, stuff like that, easily enough.
Okay, cool. You got any shout-outs?
Oh, you know, just to my lovely wife, Nadine, who stuck with me through, I don't know how she did it, but she did. And, you know, all my peeps over there, Stu Kids Music Group, man, Tia and Ty Austin, and, you know, all my boys, Billy Johnson, Jimmy McKinney, Dave Council, all my cats here in Oakland,
Jimmy
man.
Jimmy McKinney. I know.
I love all my boys,
Oakland.
Yes.
It's something about Oakland. Okay, so we're going to take, I don't know who this phone call is from, but we're going to take this phone call. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Caller.
I think it's 908. If that caller doesn't answer, we got another one. Let's go to the next caller, co-pilot.
Hello?
You ready, caller? Are you there? Yes. Hi. Who's calling?
Hello. Is this for me or I'm on tape?
Yeah, it's for you. No, it's live. All the way live on Tribe Family Channel. Who is it?
Well, I was on. My name is Marcus LaBeouf.
Hi, Marcus
LaBeouf.
From Oakland. Let's go.
Wait a minute. Let me interrupt you. This is Marcus LaBeouf from up on Malcolm Avenue.
Right. Well, Raven and them lived on Malcolm, but I hung out with the Pharaohs.
I know who you are, man. Wow, isn't this something, Patrice? Chocolate. Guess this man that I'm talking to. This man that I'm talking to right now has known me since I was a sophomore or junior in high school.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So y'all go way back. As a matter of fact, his name is familiar to me, too. I think we recently became Facebook friends, didn't we, Marcus?
We did. Yes, we did.
Okay, okay.
And how are you doing, sure, Patrice?
I'm keeping the funk alive. So you got Rusty. So what you want to say? He's being kind enough.
Yeah, well,
I didn't know you.
Huh? Huh? Well,
I said
go ahead,
Marcus.
So he's
been kind.
Well, you know, the irony of it is I was just on Facebook. I'm not a real social media person myself. Got on Facebook and saw that, Patrice, that you have a Funk Alert show. So I saw the number, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard. So I thought, what the hell? I'm just gonna call in my buddy Rusty, who I haven't seen in a billion years. You know, the last time I saw him, I was sitting up about a week ago, Rusty, with a couple friends of mine, and we were just kind of kicking it. And I put on a Bobby Womack live CD, and you were playing. And I'm
right.
Like, that's my buddy. Just gave a little bit of the history. And,
wow.
You know, the last time I saw you, Rusty, was on Shattuck Avenue, or no, Telegraph in Berkeley, and you were on one side. You don't remember, but I was on the other side. I screamed, Rusty LaBeouf, and we hooked up just for a brief moment. This is probably 15 years ago or more.
Wow, right. Amazing.
Yeah. But I just want to call and say hello, and I heard all the things that you're doing and the music that you're writing, producing, and doing. And then, Patrice, also, I'm so honored to speak to you also, going way, way back when I was kind of following you guys and all the clubs in San Francisco and just having a good time with, enjoying the music that you
Those were the days. Those were the days, my brother.
Then when I looked on Facebook, yeah, Rusty, then you got married. You are married. I was married 20-some years, divorced. We'll have to catch up when you – are you living in the Bay Area?
I'm in Stockton, California right now, and I've been out here about 13 years now.
You know, they had this big housing boom out here, so we were fortunate enough to be able to get one out here. And, you know, I've been hooked up at New Life Church of God in Christ at 49 South Wilson Way. And if anybody's out there want to come hear some really good singers, some really good musicians playing some gospel music, come by and stop and see us, man. Elder Thurnell Clayton Jr. is on the pulpit, and that man tells the truth. And, man, we just have a good time out there.
Where is New Life is in Stockton?
In Stockton, 49 South Wilson Way in Stockton. Yes, sir.
I'll see you there. Okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. That's a bet. I'll Google
it. Is that a bet?
And, that's a bet. I'm a born-again Christian myself. Was baptized with my son about, 9 years ago. I was brought up and raised Catholic. Long story short. But I knew a complete submersion is a real baptism, not being sprinkled. So something I always wanted to do. So anyway, we were baptized over at Allen Temple in Oakland, which is a Baptist church. But I just want to be
Never mind all that. Just come see me, man.
I will. Don't want to interrupt your show, but I had to holler, hey.
I appreciate it.
I hope you'll remember me, but... Crazy LaBeouf is still out.
There can only be one Marcus LaBeouf in the state of California, man. That name is so unique.
Remember I was in the car business forever? Still I am.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll catch up when you see it. And Miss Patrice. It's a pleasure. And I'm going to let you guys go, and
And you know what? Keep the funk alive, okay?
Okay, absolutely. I sure would. You'll have to interview yourself.
I'll be posting up on Facebook. You'll know exactly when my interview is coming, okay?
Okay. And Rusty, love you, brother, and talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So, Rusty... You got to go way back to somebody you went to. What element? What school you go to?
Castlemont High School, man. I mean, Yeah, I went to Castlemont.
Okay,
I sure did.
I know about Castlemont. Shout out Castlemont. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Rusty, I know that you have somewhere to go, so I'm getting ready to let you go ahead on and go. And thank you very much. And on your way out, we are getting ready to play If You Want Me to Stay, and then we're going to play In Time. We know about If You Want Me to Stay. Tell us a little about In Time.
In Time was my very first attempt at a Sly and the Family Stone recording session, and we were at the record playing in the pit, and Sly already had the drums and the keyboards down, and it was a session that needed bass, and Cynthia and Jerry were in the other room cutting horns, and Sly gave me a basic idea, and when once again the spirit kicked in, the schooling that I had took over, and I just ended up doing what I did, and the result is what you're going to hear.
Okay, and Rusty, I want to tell you that I so appreciate you spending this time with us on Everybody is a Star. And it has been awesome being able to do this interview with you. And let's stay connected, and you keep on doing what you are doing. Now, we have callers who are waiting, but I'm sorry that you guys could not get through. But thank you for calling. Rusty has someplace he has to be. But so, Rusty, I just want to tell you that, keep my number. Keep that funk going on, and we got to hook up. You making music with everybody else. It's time for me and you to see what we can come up with. That sounds like a bet?
Absolutely.
Okay,
that sounds like a bet. And I'm so humbled, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, Patrice, for having me, okay?
The pleasure was all mine, and I will talk to you soon. In the meantime, before we go out, I would like to say to everybody that for all things chocolate, you can go to PatriceChocolateBanks.com. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out my co-pilot tonight, who is Donald Horn. I want to shout out the Facebook Nation, all the Funkaholics who are dedicated to keeping the funk alive. I want to shout out to Beverly Black Johnson, Tribe Family Channel. I want to say may the funk continue to be with all of y'all. As we go out, we're going to go out on If You Want Me to Stay, and we're going to go out on In Time, okay? So I hope that you guys can handle the funk tonight. If not, just go get your gas mask. Or strike a match, or get your OVM, or whatever you do for funk. Go get it, okay? Because we about to funk y'all right on out, okay? And here we go. Bye, Rusty. Thank you.
Bye, my sweetie.
the best.